This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, June 10th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, I want to piggyback, have a discussion on something similar, not exactly with Aaron Green. I enjoyed Aaron Green's interview with Michael Foster.
Yes.
I was in studio. I decided to be quiet for the entire studio to soak in what was being said, because, you know, who knows me knows I do spins. I've learned a lot in general from that interview, and which I plan to glean some information and put it back out there for public consumption. Today, I want to talk about Labor Day, mm-hmm. What happened, what did not happen. I want to talk about culture, right? What I call June culture, because I think we should be capitalizing on Juneteenth, what's happening in the United States, and our Saltwater Underground Railroad,
mm-hmm.
Right? I want to talk about the Bay Street culture based on Labor Day and what happened there. And from there, it's all open there. It all depends on how quickly you get through these conversations, and we'll go through any other thing after that.
All right. I was preparing for a Labor Day sort of conversation as well, but I'd made a promise to follow that conversation, and I wanted to know what happened on the Labor Day parade vis-a-vis Valley Boys and John Canoe. But in preparation for a conversation about labor, I remember that the Ministry for Public Service put out a statement, right, saying that public servants or public officers are not restricted. Like, they could wear whatever shirt they want to wear, mm-hmm. and they could march with whoever they want to march with, right? They put that statement out. And I thought, you know, people were celebrating it. Like, look, that's fair. Mm-hmm. It's a good statement. And then I thought, hold on. Does that conflict with general orders?
You can start from there. Because I see you mentioned that, and I was around you online. Because you had some commentary online.
Yes,
and I'm going to allow you to speak. And then I will respond.
Then you allow me.
Yeah, then I respond because I disagree with you.
Okay, so I believe, right, I've heard multiple times that public officers, if you're part of the civil service, the public service, that you are not allowed to express, display, or expose your political affiliation. Mm-hmm. I've always perceived it as a rule intended to protect public officers and civil servants from victimization, but also from attempts to coerce, extort, bribe, or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, keep your... You're allowed to support a party. You could even be a party member. But in terms of, like, in your office, you can't have party flags on your desk. You can't wear a party T-shirt to work. Like, public officers were required when they joined the force. You put that aside. You can't express your political affiliation. I always perceived it as a rule to protect public officers as opposed to victimize them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, does the minister's statement or does the ministry statement contradict general orders? This is the real thrust of my comment right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went online and first time accessing the newly revamped government website.
Mm-hmm.
Easy search. It popped up right away, and I think that's a signal of an improved website. It looks great.
Give me the website again.
It is bahamas.gov.bs.
Okay.
That's it. It's revamped. It looks different, and it's a bit easier to navigate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I just had one problem.
Go ahead.
It took me straight to the section I wanted in general orders, you know. Chapter 9, Rules of Conduct, the subsection Political Activities of Civil Servants. Mm-hmm. 949 states, here's the problem. You can't copy or paste anything from the government website. Mm. When my first attempt to copy and paste, all it did was give me the URL. It just copied the web page for that page. There's such vast amounts of information on the government website. Why can we not copy and paste information from the government website?
I think you need a SNP. You want to do SNP?
On my laptop?
Yeah. Do SNP? That's a new thing now.
Yeah, it's like you take a screenshot.
Screenshot, like.
Yeah, but I need to copy and paste it, right? Like, I don't just want to take a picture of it and then print the picture to have here while I'm reading my notes. Mm. I want to be able to
copy into your document
an excerpt and then format it. Mm-hmm. Some words are in bold, so they're highlighted so I could see them easily when I'm reading. Mm-hmm. Right? And what about students with projects?
Yeah.
You're telling me that a student who's gone to a government website for information will have to transcribe the entire chapter of information? Come on, the website looks great, but for me, it's a matter of, is this the policy about transparency and honesty and accountability you've been working on all this time? Because it just seems harder and harder to get access to government information. Thank you very much, Mr. Newry.
Hopefully now, the webmaster hears that and be able to adjust it.
There,
you can do it.
There is more information vis-a-vis the conversation in terms of participation in politics, right? But not necessarily participation in the Labor Day parade from Chapter 9, Rules of Conduct, General Orders.
Yes. And I believe the Constitution trumps all laws in the Bahamas.
Okay, true. However, remember that when you read an act, once it's been passed, at the very bottom of it, like at the bottom it says, this act is deemed to be good law until it is shown to be bad law or contradicting the Constitution. So there are laws that exist right now that are in operation that contravene the Constitution, you know, but you have to actually take that law to the court.
I understand.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yes, and the Constitution allows everyone in the Bahamas to join any political party and be active member and to assemble any place, anytime.
Right, however...
No, that's full stop, though. I hear that, however... Unless you're going to quote the Constitution again, or you're going to go to a law.
Well, what I was going to say is that within the public service, there are three categories of staff. Let's call them staff, right?
Police force and...
There's politically restricted, intermediate, and politically free. Mm-hmm. Politically restricted, the senior public officers, particularly those whose duties include advising ministers or who may be serving in a sensitive post or in a senior and influential position as defined in paragraph 5A below, who are completely debarred from all political activities.
Yeah.
The intermediate group.
Pause there.
Yeah, yeah.
Political activities or joining a political party?
Activities, not joining a party.
Just making sure.
Right.
You still could be a member.
Yeah, you could be a member.
You just can't be active.
Right.
Yeah, in the activities.
Right.
Go ahead.
B, the intermediate group, i.e. the large group of typists, clerks, and technicians, etc., who are eligible for freedom to engage in all political activities, but only if specific permission is granted and subject to conditions which may be imposed.
Mm.
Right? So you could, if you're like a technocrat, a typist, clerk, you could engage in political activities, but you have to seek permission. Mm. It has to be granted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then there are conditions you subject it to.
Okay.
The third group, politically free, the unestablished weekly paid employee and equivalent, who are completely free to engage in all political activities.
Yeah.
Now, but see, here's my question. Mm-hmm. So I'm a janitress. I'm free to engage in all political activities, right? I could make a mop out of political party T-shirts.
I shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but it goes on. And so for people who are interested, you could search online, Bahamas Government, General Orders, Chapter 9, Section 949.
Yes. So we continue our conversation on Labor Day and the culture of Labor Day. Mm-hmm. We saw the Labor Day parade. The PLP came out in full force. It was something to behold.
Like a salami?
It was a salami. It was a full tsunami that take over all of East Street proper, straight to maybe up to Wolf Road in terms of length. It was huge. It was definitely a show of force, a show of power of the political party. And I'm not here or there because we argued about that, whether it's a good thing or bad thing.
Yeah.
And the PLP concluded that it's good for them.
Yeah.
Right? My concern is Labour shrinking? Are Labourers deciding to say, man, I don't want to march with no union group anymore? Right? Mm-hmm. The culture of I need to support Labour in general, is that something that is being changed in the Bahamas?
A lot of conversations this weekend where people are saying, look, Labour is synonymous with PLP. PLP is synonymous with Labour.
I cool with that. I have no problem with that.
Like the two are inextricable, mm-hmm. right? But is are people marching with parties because they believe that the party is synonymous with Labour? Like they believe that this party is for Labour, or are they marching with the parties because they like disenfranchised or frustrated or disgusted with the unions, right?
Mm-hmm. I would have said this. What would have happened if Labour decided to say, we want to have a different route? We don't want to march with this group in at all. Have a separate parade. What type of march it would have been? Just one political party marching on Labour Day. See, that seems problematic. To be, join the parade is one thing. But to march independently with Labour saying, man, no, we can't be a part of this.
Because here's my thing. If a Congress or two Congresses mm-hmm. said, if the remaining two, because remember the TUC said they go into the House of Labour. Mm-hmm. If the remaining two said, look here, we ain't marching this route, we're going to march a different route, could they stop the PLP from joining them on that route?
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Or would they? Yeah. Like say they decide, look here, we're going to do a different route, and the PLP get wind of it. A, would they, and B, would they?
Yeah. Interesting. It's something to talk about.
And I mean, it's interesting in terms of the culture. Yeah.
I wanted also to have a discussion on the place of Labour, right? I passed the House of Labour on Wolf Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's dilapidated.
The yellow?
The dilapidated building on the left-hand side across from...
If you're heading westbound.
Heading westbound. Yeah, heading westbound across, basically across from the school.
Right.
Right. And then I passed the taxi union.
You mean the pink thing right there on Nassau Street?
It doesn't have a roof at all. And I want to know if this indicating that Labour is in problem.
Hold on, okay. Taxi union, I'm heading north on Nassau Street. Is it on the left or the right?
You're heading north on Nassau Street, on the right-hand side. It's the...
By the restaurant that we all used to go to after Junk Canoe, and then they don't sell shellfish anymore?
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
And it doesn't have a roof at all. I'm not sure if only one part of it is house, but it's safe to call it a dilapidated building also. Is Labour in problem? That they cannot manage their affairs. What does that say to persons who say, man, I ain't marching with Labour no more. I want to march a political party. Maybe there's a reason why Labour feel disenfranchised with their union.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think perhaps what got lost in the prior conversations is when you ask, are the political parties occupying too much space, or is a political party occupying too much space? That question... It's broad, like, because what could come in is, it's not that the parties are occupying too much space, it's that the unions are not occupying enough space within the labor movement, mm. right? That nature abhors a vacuum. Mm. And as the unions shrink, the strongest force expands. Mm. That may be politics, right? Like, I think people just saw it as an attack on the PLP as opposed to a question that creates a space for deeper interrogation, right? And broadens the things that we're looking at. I think that's fair. I didn't have a problem saying it when I was talking to, I think, Ferguson, mm-hmm. right? That the union, the House of Labor is a bunch of foolishness. And if you are such a mighty union, how is it that you have not been able to identify the resources available within your union space, right, and have that fixed. I was ashamed to see that in the MOU that the government would facilitate or assist in some way or enable in whatever way the renovation of the House of Labor. Yeah,
especially when they're collecting dues.
I mean, that's a, like you said, it's a serious indictment on the state of labor. To see how taxi drivers operate, not all, but larger and larger numbers, on the road, things like turning right on red, as if the government authorized them to do that, but you don't have a roof on your union building?
And for decades.
And then your prior, I could see why you made a change in leadership at the last election, because your prior president sat with the minister responsible for transport and said, no man, we good for the next 100 years. Mm. And they had no roof on their building at that time?
I can imagine. And pivoting, you mentioned whether, in a prior show, on your show, whether John Canoe's taking up too much space on a Labor Day parade.
Yeah.
It's as if we're in a celebratory feel and that we forget what Labor Day is all about and who should be there and why places like a fast food restaurants, places like private entities, services are not participating, or what are they doing in terms of their celebrating union? Why are we going out there to be spectators and not heralding the works of labor?
Right, and why? Why aren't Junker News participating in the parade as workers?
As workers.
Because for me, they can't occupy too much space on the parade because they the ultimate workers. These by them have job and they work in their Junker News job, right? That space should be open to them in a different, or a space should be created for them on the parade in a different way that highlights and celebrates or applauds the labor that they put in to providing the space for one of the best experiences of the year, which is John Canoe.
Okay. So I'm going to pivot now. Something, and I'm uneasy having this conversation, right? And just that, I need to put it out there so we can have response by the person. Recently, we had two ambulances, maybe three, donated to the Bahamas.
Ambulance or fire truck?
Sorry, yes, fire trucks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Let me make sure. Let me repeat it again. We have three fire trucks donated to various family islands saying, here, have it, right? This is good, something to celebrate, especially in a time when Bahamians thought or raised alarm that we are short fire trucks, right? To this point, have they announced who donated the fire trucks to the Bahamas? And is that narrative of who donating the fire trucks important?
Of course the narrative is important. If they have made an announcement, I don't think it's been made in the public domain, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got one Eleuthera Foundation in Eleuthera. If you were in a partnership with them to get a fire truck, you wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's easy. Now to the question of should it be made public? So you mean that it takes me 375 days to open up a bank account because of all of the KYC requirements, if I'm lucky, right? You got people who are submitting documents for the second or third time for an electronic passport that they were already issued for their renewal, but KYC is not important at this point to know who donated the fire truck.
And mind you, I don't want to look a gift horse in his mouth. I'm grateful for the fire truck.
Thanking you, and you could send more.
To whoever the anonymous person is.
Yeah. Right?
But surely you cannot announce that you got a fire truck without a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That we just received this fire truck. It was donated by. Mm-hmm. The fire truck is 20 years old, right? It's going to be manned and operated by these particular people. These particular people are experienced. They're going to training. This is how they're going to be involved with the government or partnering with the government. Is this a PPP? Because, you know, we like use that word now. Is this a PPP program? It's just as if we accepting anything, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're grateful. Because we're grateful. Because we're short.
Because we're desperate.
Because we're desperate, right? Yeah. But surely media, Bahamian people, family islanders, put the same, man, I appreciate this, you know, but who give us this?
Mm-hmm.
So, do we owe them anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to be concerned 5 years from now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just concerned that nobody's asking the question.
And with the announcement, with the celebration by the current administration that their actions have removed us from the blacklist, mm-hmm. right? Like, isn't this important? Like, we just get off the blacklist, gentlemen mm-hmm. and ladies. Shouldn't we be very concerned about staying off yeah. the blacklist?
Like I said, I was uneasy talking about it, but as a citizen of the Bahamas and who want to herald the Bahamas in general, right? I want to mention that. I'm going to pivot again.
Yeah.
Pivoting like crazy today. Because so much things I want to talk about what happened over the weekend. And I still want to have it connected to culture.
Yeah.
BGCSE results soon come out. It's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the minister already out mentioning it. And I quote her because we have a good and excellent minister of education. The headline, I can let you read the headline for me. And I'll get concerned because I'm not sure what they're trying to say, right? And I've seen some educators say it before, and I've been watching the results of Jamaica. They just published their CXE results, mm-hmm. right? They published every school mm-hmm. and ranked them, right? Who had 100% passes, who had 60%, 40%, whatever it is. They just publish everything. Mm-hmm. No defending. It is what it is. Right, and I've saw some results in other Caribbean nations where they publish everyone. Mm-hmm. We don't do that in the Bahamas. We don't know how the schools are ranked, and the schools that who publish their works, namely Queen's College and St. Augustine's College,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say that 80% of our graduating class
got C and above, or four, whatever it is.
Right? No other school does that. Right? But the headline, read the headline for me.
Stop saying the average, says education minister.
It seems like the good minister is trying to preempt something. Just because we don't have the results yet. We still waiting on the C-,
mm-hmm.
so we can celebrate. Mm-hmm. Say, well, look how we're moving. But stop saying the mm-hmm. average. We ain't going to say that no more. It's a request.
Who's we?
Me and you. We ain't going to say the average.
I shall continue to say the average.
This is wrong with your name. You don't have the government, man.
Education Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin has denounced the characterization of Bahamian youth as the average based solely on national examination results, describing the label as, quote, unfortunate and unfair. Pause. I'm not characterizing Bahamian youth as the average.
Hmm.
First of all, it's your ministry that's the average, madam. Sorry, cousin, senior woman. It's your ministry that's the average. Okay, heck of all. If the students are the average, then we need to acknowledge it and fix the learning environment so they will score better. That's it. Like, not saying it is not going to improve the situation. Not acknowledging is not going to make them smarter or produce better results. But perhaps if we continue to force you to acknowledge the state of education, then we'll see real substantive shifts. Now, mind you, we have seen some real substantive shifts taking place. It's 2025, and we're not celebrating them because they should have happened 2 decades ago. Right? Mm-hmm. The good things that are happening now are worthy of acknowledgement, but we're not going to celebrate things that are 20 years too late. There's a problem in education, and however you want to pretty it up, however you want to fix it up, you're producing students who cannot navigate the rapidly changing world around them. That's it. Or at the very least, you're not producing sufficient students who can navigate the rapidly changing and expanding world around them.
Is it necessary, should we publish the grades of the results of the school, say 20%,
yes.
30%?
Yes.
And will that give our students an inferiority complex?
Give them an inferiority complex. It will allow them to properly identify where they are.
The deficiencies in the system.
Yes. So that they can find the specific help they need to improve.
And mind you, and I'll talk about my high school experience. When I took BGCSEs, our accounts grade at the private school I attended was poor.
Mm-hmm.
We did poorly. I think it was maybe 60% pass. Since then, and by the school published it. They published the results. And since then, they've moved up to about 80%. then it hasn't gone over that threshold mm-hmm. over 80% yet, right? 75% is like the mean. But with the public schools would have challenges, right? Is there a need to publicize that a school have 40% passes in math?
Yes, man. Of course. Here's why. First of all, when the school gets 40% pass in math, right? And we say, oh, look at the average school, right? Then the school is supposed to say, listen, here's what the issue is.
Here's our plan.
We have...
our plan action?
No, don't say that. Don't ever say that. Mm-hmm. Not even in jest. Not even on the comedy stage. Mm-hmm. However, I appreciate it. We have a crisis with special needs students. Mm-hmm. We have far too many students that need specialized learning environments or programs. Mind you, not all of the issues are sort of intellectual mm-hmm. needs issues. Some of them are psychological and emotional needs issues that render them unable to learn. Some of it is poverty and people in food deserts, right? Yeah. They ain't got no food. They can't learn because they can't eat. Some of it is the kids can't pay attention because they're constantly being abused. Some of it is the kids that can't pay attention because at the age of 11, 10 and 11, they're already plagued
yeah.
with the personal crisis that somebody else in this house needs to earn an income.
Yes.
Right? And so when I say, oh, it's the average school, then y'all are supposed to come back and say, here are all of the needs and the issues. And then we're supposed to say, okay, cool, we see it. Where's the policy and the strategy to approach that? Mm-hmm. And then you're supposed to present that to us. And then we could say, okay, we see what the issue is. You don't have sufficient resources to provide yeah. the academic environment that the kids need to be able to reach the standards that we say are necessary for a developing country.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that because the minister's preemption, don't call it the average, the student's the average. It seemed odd. Very defensive, deflecting, as if something foreboding is about to happen, and she's prepping the nation.
That's exactly what it feels. Seems yeah. like.
I didn't like it. I'm sure she means well. I said, let me mention it.
Yeah, because...
Minister, I didn't like it.
We know Ministry of Education, they mean well. You can't look up in all them children's face every day and not feel it in your heart. Mm-hmm. People get frustrated and overwhelmed with a lack of resources.
Yeah.
Teachers gonna get if you send me to work on day one and my desk on JBR block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And teachers get frustrated and overwhelmed too. And especially when you keep on asking yeah. again and again for these things.
I took a little offense to how the government talked about the breakfast program as if teachers weren't going into their own pocket.
Yeah.
And feeding hundreds of students on a daily basis before the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what it was. I'm going to do a field trip today after the show.
Where are we going?
I'm going past Grey Cliff. I wouldn't call it a name. But I want to take a picture of an item there and do a critique of their tourism product.
Okay.
That's what I plan to do. I'm going to do write up.
All right.
Just what I do. People get mad. Say I'd be critiquing so much people's stuff.
But
I said I read a whole document at time, man, explain why. You might not agree with it, but I explain why and where I see the Bahamas, right? Just because I compare and contrast the Bahamas tourism product with Panama's tourism product.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking one or two things that we can learn from there. I know that we tend to assimilate, absorb other foreign concepts and put it into the Bahamas. It's look good, no. But it's not Bahamian. And I'm not saying that you cannot absorb it, but we got to Bahamianize some of these products to make sure that it fits in to what we are offering. So when people come to the Bahamas, say, this is a unique experience I had. I didn't see this umbrella thing in South America or mm-hmm. United
this
States.
This is the only place I've seen this or had this. Yeah.
Had this. So I'm going to do a contrast, compare and contrast, and recommend. I hope people don't get mad. I just recommend to man, just change this. Let's make this better for us. That when people mm-hmm. come here, they say, man, this is the best place in the world. They speak differently, right? And where I'm going to move from this conversation is that Juneteenth. So come up, you know what Juneteenth is? That's a question.
Oh, this question for me.
Yeah, you know what Juneteenth is.
It's American.
It's American, yes. That's it. What do you? That's it.
I'm filling out with my visa form.
No, no problem.
So I'm filling out my visa form right now, and I don't know why you're asking me these types of questions.
No. Juneteenth is a national holiday now in the United States, a federal holiday.
Hold on, pause.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it still a federal holiday?
Yeah, man.
This year is definitely a federal holiday.
Well, until Mr. Trump changed it, he ain't changed it yet.
Okay.
But right now, it's still a national holiday.
Okay.
And this is basically the day when the people in Texas, in particular, or when slavery completely ended in the United States. Of course, they had a national declaration, but when they had the Civil War, mm-hmm. and when Abraham Lincoln declared out, set all the slaves free, mm-hmm. right? However, they still had slavery in the United States until Juneteenth, where they celebrate now in Texas, where everybody mm-hmm. was free. And then that's subjective in terms of...
Because up until the 1960s, people were still didn't know that they were free. They were sharecropping and didn't know that they didn't have to.
Especially in the prison system and whatever it is.
Oh, and then the proliferation of the prison industrial complex. Yeah. Angela Davis has a lot of writing and a number of wonderful speeches, presentations on the prison industrial complex.
And people are even comparing our prison complex with that now, especially that how we are now hiring out prisoners now to build...
pipes over steps?
That and buildings and refurbished buildings. Like, who's getting the money? Who's subcontracting these prisoners and getting... the contracts and the benefits from that.
And if they're working, is there NIB being paid?
Yeah, yeah. And benefits, you know, health benefits, whatever it is. But that's a different story on the same. The conversation what I'm talking about is that we need to capitalize on our Bahamas or Bahamian narrative and capitalize what I call African-American tourism. And some people say, why are you being racial? But there is a tourist protocol of African-Americans who want to see themselves here. And I think Juneteenth, we need to have a Bahamian narrative of that. And the Bahamian narrative that is the saltwater underground railroad.
And here's why you need the African, the racial context. Because if you don't, then eventually the program, whatever it is, will be watered down to something that does not offend European descent people and tourists, right? That's why you have to put the emphasis on it. It's about telling a particular story, mm-hmm. and it's important to know that that story may make some of our visitors feel very uncomfortable.
True. But you know that few Bahamians know what the Saltwater Underground Railroad is?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of Bahamian culture.
Mm-hmm. And right? that ain't Bimini Road either.
No. I thought we had some phone calls there, but like few people know what the Saltwater Underground Railroad is, and someone needs to tell that narrative, and I think that narrative is important for African Americans to know how we impacted American culture, especially during this time when they are traveling and they're having days off, that when they come to the Bahamas, that they know that this is a spot that has that, especially when you talk about the Gullah Geechee and the Carolinas and the Georgia connection to the Bahamas and language. We need to do a better narrative on who we are and how we impact those people.
And let's I don't know if you want to go to the caller first, and then we can tell people what the saltwater underground railroad is.
Let's go to the caller first, and you agree that for me. Producer, go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Yeah, just some little enlightenment here. You know, Ms. Green, you're totally correct as far as slavery taking a while. You know, America is one of the first people the first places to keep slavery until the 1860s, right? Even as they said, they freed the slaves, and you know, you said some of them didn't know they were free, and they had they called it sharecropping, right?
Mm-hmm.
What exacerbated this problem, the injustice, was the fact that the black people, most of them, were uneducated or unknowledgeable about how to weigh things, et cetera, et cetera. So they were being exploited. They weren't able to calculate what they deserved or what they got, right? Mm-hmm. For their sharecropping. You know that, right? It's documented. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you familiar with peonage? That is a system in which they still enslaved the people. They used the prison systems. Mm-hmm. And then they had certain systems set up in the justice system whereby when a person go to court, let's say somebody owed, they would say somebody owed them, and they would rent out the post-slavery and all. Even during slavery, they would do this. And slaves would buy their freedom during slavery by going, if there was a trade, if it was a and he was, some of them were very skilled. And so even so, there's a story about a blacksmith and a gunsmith, one of the best gunsmiths in the world. I think he migrated to Canada. I can't remember his name, but I could look up the story. And he eventually, because Canada was a former colony, he sent two high-grade pistols, never made, nobody could conceive that a black man made them, and there was a gift to, okay, I can't remember which king, but he actually refused them, and he found that they came from a black man. So what I'm saying is, it was all systemic, even with the injustices, with the lynching in the South, it was all commercialized. The peonage is even, you could go and look in the archives and you'd see it. And so what happens is, then hence came the, I mean, then came the chain gang. And all of this is a capitalistic ideal in order to keep themselves enriched. And so peonage was systemic in the court system. So the court will pass a judgment, and then the person will have to work and pay this and that until the time. You know, it was ridiculous. It still is. So what I want to remind the public, and you should know this, Aaron, a lot of people really believe that when slavery was abolished, like it was, that was all good. We know about the remnants of the racial problems in the South, right? But also the injustices continued for a short for a long while, and then peonage was only one way in which Jim Crow laws became hidden. So even fast forward to the 21st century, you still have racial agendas, but it's hidden. You see? That's what I'm trying to show you. It's not going to be blatant or overweight in front of you. It's still hidden, man, okay? And nothing changed. And so the fact that I get sick to my ears when I hear people praising Abraham Lincoln. Okay. And they don't really understand. Abraham Lincoln made a strategic move for political reasons. And you have to be able to see it for yourself. As slaves migrated from the South and for freedom, because they had the will to, because they know that if they fight with the North, they'll be able to come back and free their slaves, their families to the South. And what happens is, they don't want to tell you this, they actually needed these slaves as guides to get back into the South and set up strategic pathways during the war. And okay. So because they saw the number of slaves migrating to the North, that's when Abraham Lincoln decided it was prudent to free slaves. And this is not about them loving us, you know. Give thanks.
Thanks very much. And this part of our history that we need to continue, especially, there's another post I want to mention about something happened in Red Bay, Andres, that Antiquities is doing. They're doing some kind of celebration with the basket.
But more importantly, I think they're documenting indigenous culture, stories, practices, history, and that's a part of the connection to the Saltwater Underground Railroad, right? Yes. The Saltwater Railroad.
It's good to call them and read about that. Go ahead, call it Garden Radio AM. Call it going once. Call it going twice. No, call it going. Let's go, Red. Read that.
Red Bay's Andrus is one of the, I think it's one of the spots. Here we go. It's an AI overview taken from a number of entities. I'll read at the end. The Saltwater Underground Railroad refers to the coastal route used by enslaved people, not slaves, enslaved people, escaping from southern slave states, particularly Florida, to reach the British-controlled Bahamas. This route was a counterpart to the land-based Underground Railroad, offering a way to freedom across the sea. Mm-hmm. The Saltwater Railroad involved freedom seekers traveling by boat or canoe from Florida's southeastern coast to the Bahamian Islands, which had abolished slavery.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that we, as Bahamians, should be proud of, right? And we should at least be familiar with the narrative, and then we should be able to tell that story. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the story about a number of times Bahamians have intervened, stopped slave ships from passing our waters, and take everyone off board and say, no, they would be free in this country. Right. And it's a proud moment. And especially it's a part of independence, too, that we are a sovereign nation.
Like that's our little Haiti moment. Right. When Haiti said, okay, all black people around the world, you're not free. Come here. You will be free.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So
let's take a quick commercial break here, and we come back to Garden Radio AM as I just go through what happened over the weekend, over the holiday, and then some things that caught my mind. Say, I gotta talk about this, man. Anyway, we're gonna be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy on his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh.
you don't want bullet hair, you say that. You know, she always say that's my good child.
So what are you doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store, then pick install, and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you and three others on a 7-day cruise to Panama, Colombo, on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Four, or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Drawing is on July 4, 2025. Brought to you by the Nassau Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. You heard that Soy Boy voice? That was good, hey? I'm just going to reiterate that Guardian Radio, Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on the Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visas required. That's right. Just like what Soy Boy said just now, no visa is required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Follow on Facebook and Instagram or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th and drawing is on July 4th. So that's in America's Independence Day. Okay, so pack up your bags, get ready and to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Of course, like Soy Boy said earlier, I love that commercial. Certain conditions apply, airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. Over the weekend, the PLP announced that they would be launching their political campaign, right? They had the big march. I mean, the march was awesome. I mean, definitely about 3,000 politicos were on the march marching. But, of course, they had a party for the prime minister afterwards, and the prime minister then went on tour. I think he went to Kent Island for the Rake and Scrapes Festival, and I think he did went to Long Island for that regatta festival where he took pictures and celebrated with people. I think the prime minister party at the Clifton, not Clifton Park, what the park is, whatever the park is there. Across from Awaki, my mind just went to the blank. Everything was free. You come out there, you could eat and drink as much as you want, you dance and celebrate with the PLP party. But I was looking for an announcement, right? If you're going to start a political campaign, don't you list the number of candidates? I didn't hear no candidates' name. I don't know what's next, right? There's supposed to be some big announcement made. Only thing I see circulating on social media is rumored now that we may have a number person. You don't call them number boys no more. You call them number men. What do you call them now, Aaron? The people who do numbers? Number men?
Account, no. Or web shop Operators, owners and operators.
It's rumored now. I'm not sure if it is true or not. You see it circulating. And I'm not going to call a person's name just to preempt any formal announcement. But I was mentioning that I expected there to be a formal announcement of 20 of the PLP candidates who will definitely be running.
Oh, right? Did they launch any candidates?
They didn't announce anything.
I don't know. Because there was an hour news story, video story, mm-hmm. caption saying PLP to announce candidates on the parade, on the march, on the day, and then but it had a video with the chairman of the party speaking.
Yeah.
But I didn't specifically hear him say that. I just thought it was odd.
Yeah. But I don't know what's happening. I know there was a launch, mm-hmm. but what type of launch was it?
Okay, so what was the rumor? Is somebody that has something to do with games could be running?
Gaming. Yeah, gaming person.
Maybe gaming specifically because.
Yeah,
these boys don't play games. Yeah. That's nothing.
That's not here nor there. Here nor there. And so I wait to see if that is true because behemoths like talk. The behemoths just make about any kind. One thing they do, if they don't like you, they lie on you, right? And if they
like you, they lie for you.
They lie for you. So I'm waiting to see if that is true, and then to see how behemoths embrace such. Mm-hmm. Will there be a fallout? Will there be a celebration in terms of, man, that's a good candidate? So I wait to see how that pans out.
What would you do if your MP, if an MP is elected, your constituency, and they are not just a web shop owner, operator, okay. but like a rich one?
Rich person.
Yeah, yes.
I like rich people to be my MP, by the way.
Yeah.
That's just me. My MP ain't rich, so I get less things. But go ahead, finish off.
No, I just wonder, how would you feel?
I can ask them for money.
Would that change the way that you think about or engage community or constituency development? Would you have an expectation of them?
Real money being spent out, yes. I would have an expectation for that. I like candidates to have a connection to my constituency.
Yeah,
you don't have to live in the constituency, but should be around the constituency in terms of attending church, right? In terms of I live in, like how we have Foxhill and then we have Sinant.
Yeah,
you can live in Sinant and still represent Foxhill, right? Because that's basically one area, right?
Yeah, you're close enough.
You're close
to
enough proximity. Yeah, you're proximity to me, right? Yeah. Same issue. So I can appreciate that, but I'm just sending random people who I don't know about, no connection to me, to say they're gonna be a good member of parliament, and I don't have no say and say I don't like this person or I do like I find that problematic, man.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully in the future we move away. We have a caller here. Let me engage them and have you comment again. Go ahead, Garden Radio AM.
Yes, good day, Mr. Nui, and good day, Aaron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morning, sir.
Good morning. I find it interesting with all the topics that you all are discussing in reference to, what's going on the news and what happened on the weekend with the march, and where my schoolmate 52 mentioned about Punich, which is basically also like the indentured servants and
mm-hmm.
The heritage, because you mentioned also about Red Bay, where they were looking for the native Indians, right, Aaron?
Well, they're looking for indigenous, yeah,
right, and the, one of the descendants from Florida, I think it was, who came down, who from the Indian tribes was looking for anybody who could approve, like 1/18th
of
their bloodline mm-hmm. to be related to being
to be officially recognized as a part of the tribe.
Yeah, and when he found out, when he realized that the person down there and the Andres was black, then he wasn't basically acceptable to what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have to stay focused because all this coverage with trying to hide all people's heritage, because Tyler Perry mentioned it last night on the show, they're trying to erase the records from in the books in America, right?
Well, we are. I didn't see the show, but I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, he said it. We have to watch our history and come up. Now, if we've been distracted right now, we're not paying attention to the budget, because now y'all are chiming in on talking about who's going to run in the elections, because people do things for their own expedience when nobody's talking about the national lottery and how it will help and take care of all of our ills. Because I said it before on this radio a couple of years, year before last, when I started talking on the radio, everybody has to just pay attention to the history of the word lottery and what it does for society and what it was really intended for. Now, a lottery system in America and in the States in America and every other country is a basically a government-operated system. But here in the Bahamas, it is right now blindly set up for a few or a couple.
We don't have a lottery system here right now.
Say that again?
We don't have a lottery system.
Right.
None exists.
A lottery system. A couple of people are controlling it, but nobody's talking about a national lottery because I think one of them said last week about increasing the pay for politicians, but nobody asked him how he feels about a national lottery because he's benefiting from it and most investors.
I don't want you to misinterpret our critique. I don't think I think what happened is we didn't intend to ask him any questions.
I know. I
yeah,
I,
like it's
I
not the
that,
yeah.
He's not on the record on how he feels about national lottery. I think Nuri, position was almost the same as what I'm saying. We need to know their position about it. But if people like them are going to run, because right now it's a cover up. For those who are benefiting for one political party, which basically...
And if they decide to run...
referendum and then say it was an opinion
If
poll,
they decide to run, we'll put that question to them. But they ain't decided to run yet.
And yeah, so let's not get distracted because I think they got... right now the budget debate is carrying on, right?
Yes.
And what they said, a 70-foot bridge to be built in Freeport for $80 million?
No, that's Eleuthera. I think that's Eleuthera, glass window bottom, glass window bridge.
Oh, it's the glass window bridge.
Yes.
Whichever one it is. But what I'm saying, these are the things that we need to pay attention to and stay focused. So they need to explain that because well, over $1 million. Remember, they tried with the road thing, 180 something million in West Grand Bahama, which didn't go through. So we have to watch them and then. Here it is. My other schoolmate, Miles LaRota, he comes out and talks about
mothers prostituting girls to get bills paid. LaRota says.
Yeah, but he's a lawyer now. Now, Miles, I want you because I
no, don't speak to him directly. Tell me how you feeling. Don't talk to him directly.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is he just needs to just know how these people being prosecuted, man, and we ain't got to play around and talk about tell the people to call the police because that's the system and it's been like that all the while. Let the behemoths know, let us know if they're doing that to them kids because I anybody ain't doing that kind of stuff to my daughters and they wouldn't have done them, and any relative daughters of mine and get away with it.
Okay.
So, be serious and let us know what you're putting in place to deal with these people. How much of them being prosecuted? We don't need to tolerate these type of monsters.
Yep, I agree. And we got to bring these conversations up. The caller made some good references.
Oh, I'm going to continue my...
Before we go.
Yes, sir.
Number of people say, man, Carnival was small this year. It might be showing the symptoms that Carnival is on decline and to be eradicated over our...
I think the timing was poor.
Yeah. So just right timing, you think it'll bounce right
wrong
back.
Weekend.
Just wrong weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody was out.
But I mean, because they had party for the Prime Minister.
Yeah. And he had like three or four parties. And of course, they had regatta in
Long Island.
Cat Island had the Rake and Scrape Festival.
Hold on, Cat Island and Long Island had the Rake and Scrape Festival on the same weekend?
Yeah, it was a big weekend.
Oh, y'all ain't making no sense.
Yeah.
No, it ain't making no sense.
Poor planet.
All of the money y'all pour into Long Island and Cat Island and y'all do it on the same weekend?
Some people want to go Cat Island, some people want to go Long Island. Yeah. We may have a discussion on that. Who plans the weekends, right? The festival calendar. What's the festival calendar? Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Tomorrow I supposed to have guests. What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow Professor Krista Walks is coming in. We're doing the musical Archipelago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, we see you tomorrow. Take care.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.